Dumpster Divas, welcome to another episode of Dumpster Dive with me, Tom Hamlet, and my sister,
Kix Hamlet. We are here to dive into the reality TV that made us, well, the garbage we are.
I know, that's right. And expect like a mix of throwback recaps as well as chats about what we are still watching today.
Tom, are you ready to get into it?
Let's go. Hi, Dumpster Divas. We are back with another episode of Dumpster Dive. And to dive into all things Bravo this week, we are joined by both halves of the Housewives Nightcap podcast. From Access Hollywood, we have Emily Orozco and Lauren Herbert. Follow Emily at Emily Orozco TV. Yeah, and then
Emily Orozco.
Oh, that's annoying. And then at Lauren Herbert _ on Instagram as well. Ladies, welcome to the pod.
Wow, thank you for having us. We're so excited to be here.
Of course, we had a fun chat just a couple hours ago on y'all's podcast. So make sure to check that out. The Housewives Nightcap podcast. We talked about kind of all the headlines that's happening right now in the Bravoverse. And yeah, that New Jersey trailer, a lot of exciting stuff.
Wait, Tom, I feel like you're like a male Delilah right now. Like,
I know. It's like, I feel like I'm on a little rhythm.
Some people say that to me. I find in real life that I like mumble and I like don't have a dulcet tone to my voice, but then people say on the mic I sound like very
Delilah.
Welcome to the pod, and I don't mean to be that way. I'm not like putting it on, I don't think.
I mean, it's very calming. It's a very nice vibe that we have going on, and I'm here for it because our podcast was pretty chaotic, as we talked about several times. So I'm vibing with this smooth jazz and afternoon.
So I think thank you. And I think the smoothness like kind of coats over when I say something kind of mean. People are like, but he said it like
but he said
in a
nicely.
Relaxing way. it didn't seem so scary. Well, tell everyone about the podcast. When did y'all get started with it, with Access Hollywood and everything?
Yeah, so we actually started as a digital series, and we're still a digital series because podcasts are still digital in that digital franchise. But we started in the pandemic. Both Emily and I really didn't know each other that well because I'm in LA, she's in New York, and we were in the middle of the pandemic, both really enjoying Housewives, and we realized that we were both fans, like super fans of Housewives and Bravo. And, you know, Access Hollywood doesn't really cover it back then that much. Mm-hmm. And so we found our way together and we're like, you know, let's do something in the pandemic to spice things up. So we started Housewives Nightcap. Our first episode was with Jen Shaw.
And Shut up. Yes. What a way to start. To start on such a good note.
We had no idea what we were doing.
No idea.
Let's just start it. And it so happened to be Jen Shaw. And boy, did that do us justice.
So we both, Emily and I, were like, where does this woman get all of her money from? And so we asked. And now we know. And so that actually became like very infamous, that episode. It's our most viral.
Isn't it so funny how life is? Like, it's literally our most viral interview from our podcast / digital series. And we ended up on Wendy Williams. They aired a clip. And I used to work Wendy Williams.
Yeah.
So I have this like iconic clip of Wendy being like, it's a freeze frame of me and Lauren in the middle of the interview.
And we look crazy. It's not like a freeze frame of us smiling or anything. Our faces, our mouths are open. And it's crazy.
It's so good. Wendy's like, do you see this girl? You know, Wendy always talked to her audience like they knew what she was talking about.
Oh,
she'd be
of
like,
course.
You guys remember Emily. Meanwhile, like, no one knows.
Right. Wait, like, Emily, and my brain is exploding like, that you worked on Wendy, first
I
of all.
Did. Yeah, I worked on Wendy.
I went to a Wendy taping like right before COVID.
Was it not like, it's like you never know what you have until it's gone.
It was a religious experience, truly.
It is, and when truly 8 a.m. The beats are going. It's like the bass is going. It's like a club in there.
No, I know. And DJ Boof was like, he was like, who's ready to do some shots? And everyone's like, yeah.
No, literally, like people, you know, I not to get sidetracked, but I could honestly go on about this forever because Wendy was essentially a female Howard Stern. And yes, she said things that were really offensive and really like, you know, like she called it as it was. But no one can deny all the joy she has brought and how talented she is. Like, incredibly talented. That show is not scripted. Like, I saw prompter. There were no scripts. She came off with everything.
Yeah, and I think people don't give her enough props for... I think people don't understand how crazy difficult it is to sit without a commercial break for 15, 20 minutes, talk to camera about X, Y, and Z with minimal engagement with other people. Like, she obviously engages with Norman, but Norman is only barely Norman, but he's guiding the topics, but he's not like an engaging like person she's having conversation with, really. She's just like talking, and like that is something not everyone can do, and she's a superstar at it.
You nailed it. People don't know how hard it is to be a broadcaster and to be sitting there on that, in that chair doing that. And I just feel really deeply that if Howard Stern got diagnosed with what she's got diagnosed with, or a man in a similar position, people wouldn't be saying like, but he was so mean, he deserved it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Are people saying that of Wendy?
Oh my God.
The internet is wrought with trolls. So like people like will always find something to be upset about with a person's past. And Wendy, like, I don't know. A lot of the stuff she said, I'm like, she always landed the plane though in a way where it was like, you laughed.
It was what, like, everyone was thinking. And I don't deny that she said things that like should not be said. Like,
of course not. She should called not.
People out in ways that should not, that were not appropriate, but it doesn't mean she deserves what's happening to her.
Mm. No. Never forget when she said death to all of them about the Spears family.
It's so good.
My favorite thing about that clip is she says death to all of them, and then she hears the audience reaction, and then she goes, oh, like she like sits back in her chair because she realizes that she just like sentenced death to a family.
Oh, and then like live, like that's literally like in the control. I used to sit in the control room, and everyone, like all the higher ups, would be reacting to like what she's saying. And like the thing was, at the end of the day, this woman is so talented and it's TV gold. So what do you do?
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. What a cool experience. So when we have new guests on the podcast, we like to check in about their journey with reality TV and when they became kind of the encyclopedias of the genre that they are now. So Emily and Lauren, what reality shows made you both a quote unquote dumpster diva that loved just trash TV? And also, is there like a certain reality star on these shows that you are like, wait, they're everything, I need to know more? Lauren, take it away.
Oh my gosh. Well, my journey into reality TV started probably when I was a little too young. My mom was really into it, and my grandma was into it, and they're still so into it. But Million Dollar Matchmaker was a huge one for me. I loved it so much. But then I got into Housewives like very early on, and I became obsessed with Vicky, and I'm still obsessed with her, as Emily's also obsessed with her. And you know, she can do a lot of wrong. She can. But
she's done a lot of wrong.
She's done a lot of wrong.
Like being a Trump supporter. But
oh yeah, let's not even go there. Here's my thing. When it comes to Housewives, I don't want Housewives and politics can't mix. I don't need to know. I understand that it's Orange County, and I'm sure all of them are big Trumpers, but I don't need that to combine that. I can't, my brain can't handle it. But no, I think it was Million Dollar Matchmaker. And then we were talking about this on our podcast, but Flavor of Love. Oh,
so good.
So good. Oh, and Rock of Love. Rock of Love.
Yes.
I used to watch these shows. My dad was like kind of a stickler of me not watching reality TV because I was like in middle school, and you know, and he was like, you do not need to be watching this trash TV. So I would hide it from him. And now I think it's so funny because now I watch it for work, and I was just with my parents last week, and he's like, I can't say anything to you anymore. And I'm like, no, dad, because this is work. You can't say anything. I made a living off of it. So
my dad is the same way. He was always so judgmental of our taste. And now he's watching the shows. He likes to watch and listen to the podcast, so he like knows what's happening. It's very cute. But Patty Stanger is so amazing.
She's so crazy.
Is a maniac.
The toxicity in her, like, it is just gold. Tits up, tight dress, straight hair only.
No, she literally, I don't know if you guys saw this, but all the old episodes are on Netflix now. And so yes. I started rewatching, and the things she would say, she literally in this, like an episode I just watched a couple days ago, she goes, lose 20 pounds and then come back. I can't have, you're not a hot girl. You're not hot enough for my millionaire. And I'm like, could you imagine her saying that now?
But it's so good. And I really miss toxic TV. Like I have to say, it's like, I know everyone will come at me for it, but if you can find the comedy in it and stop taking it so seriously, like what she's saying is obviously not what you should be listening to. You have to find comedy in it.
Right.
I know, but it's so hard to find people who are, the reason it works though, is because Patty Sanger lives in a world where she's so unaware of anything anything she does is wrong.
Unaware.
So she's like, no, I'm helping these people. I told her to lose 20 pounds. I'm helping her.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's her brain. But because of the speed at which like the internet works now and cancel culture and things like that, like it's hard to like watch. It's hard to find shows where we can watch people live authentically anymore, which is tough sometimes. I mean, I do think we get pockets of it. Like I think Love is Blind bizarrely is a very like, authentic show. I think these people are Looney Town USA and like live out loud on those shows. But yeah, I agree. Also with Patty, something that I love is that she will have so many standards for the ways that everyone looks that is there. And then her team
is wild.
Is like mod cloth, neck tats, like mohawks. It's just like, wait, what?
No.
I am so happy you pointed that out. Why have I never noticed that? You're correct.
It's so bizarre.
And she's like.
I know. She's sitting next to her team and she's like looking at this woman who's like a 000 and is like, you should lose 10 more pounds. It's just like, what? You have a bizarre standard on people.
She is wild. And I think she's coming out with a new show.
I heard that.
With Nick Viall. They're in development.
Oh, I didn't know Nick Viall. Nick Viall is an interesting character, and I can say that. I've interviewed him several times. He's an interesting guy.
Something so weird about him.
He's not, I don't want to say it, actually.
The matchmaker on CW. You guys not get excited last. Come on.
Wow, CW is a network still?
Patty Stanger's headshot looks like she is a plastic Barbie.
It's so airbrushed.
Aggressively airbrushed. Okay. No, Nick Viall's teaming up with the ultimate matchmaker, Patty Stanger, to pair. The pair will work together in CW's upcoming unscripted series, Patty Stanger, the Matchmaker.
Interesting.
That's a wild duo.
I don't see them meshing. He has just a way about him that just kind of rubs me the wrong way.
Here's the thing. I think he's an odd character, but I have to say, here what's interesting, Lauren, is I only met him once. I've never interviewed him, and you've interviewed him.
He was actually, I think I just have I have this ingrained in my brain. He was my first interview here at Access Hollywood, and I was like, you know, a young 24-year-old, super excited, and he just wasn't what I was expecting him to be. And I think
he wasn't nice.
Yeah, he wasn't nice.
He's a dick. I mean, he's famously a dick.
He was just not that's nice. Like his,
Really?
Mm-hmm. But, you know, things could have changed. Who knows? He's gone to, like, you know, find his person. He has a baby. He could be a completely and utterly different human now.
I do think he is, I have to say, like, as an interviewer, he's actually a really good interviewer.
Oh, totally.
I was going to say that. He crushes, like, the way he holds people's feet to the fire in a way. I'm like, he doesn't really come in defending anyone, you know? Like, he just says, like, well, you fucked up, so, like, we don't talk about it. Like, his stuff around Sandoval, around Scandoval was
that was a really, he did that well.
Also, doesn't, like, I have a hard time, I have to say, as an interviewer, I have a hard time connecting with people without bringing in my own experiences. Mm-hmm. And I'm working on that. He doesn't really bring in his own life experience.
But is that a bad thing though, Emily? I mean, like, I kind of think, I understand what you mean. Like, you can't all be about you when you're talking to, like short interview segment. I see right. part of it, but at the same time, I find that to be something that you
know, I don't know if it's good people. Or bad. Like, I'm the kind of person where if I'm talking to, I don't know, a celebrity whose ex just, oh, I know who, Kelsey Ballerini, good example. Like, when her and her ex broke up, me and my ex broke up. And in that interview, it's like, I have a really hard time not being like, by the way, I completely feel you because I just went through that. But I don't know that the public always wants to hear
that. I think in that situation, in that particular interview, that makes complete sense. Why wouldn't you have brought that up? Because you're connecting with her on another level where then she's going to feel maybe a little bit more comfortable with you to share and to open up. But I understand. I think I love when you connect with people. You have your Emily's really good about reading people, like her, their energy, and she matches them. And I feel like it's important. And that makes you, you know?
I mean, your conversation with Mariska Hargitay is so wonderful. Exactly. All you're doing is connecting. Like, yeah. I think that's like speaks right. to that connection level.
Sometimes I'm like, maybe I should just, I hold back a lot. Anyway, this is not therapy for me. Let's do therapy later.
Well, okay. No therapy. Emily, what was your like reality TV origin?
Oh, sorry. Oh, 100. Well, America's Next Top Model, which I know you are a fan of.
Love.
I have to say, like, if we go back to the archives, that's my original.
Who's like, your like favorite winner?
I don't even remember. Like I like, genuinely don't remember.
Or like, is there a season or like a photo shoot that was like
I watched for Tyra. I loved
yeah, Tyra. Like, sure.
I thought she was just so bold, and I loved how I'm a tough love person. In addition to like, it's like I'm so empathetic and loving, but I also tell people exactly what I think they need to hear, even if I think it hurts them. So I liked that about Tyra. But that was like my first, I would say, into reality TV. Oh, and Newlyweds. Jessica.
Oh, right.
You guys, I see, still watch it on YouTube. That and Oprah. Like, on YouTube, late night, boom.
See, Newlyweds for me, we lived in a household where we were not allowed to watch MTV, but we could watch VH1. Don't understand it because
wait,
I was
watching, no difference. Wait, no. I think that was the way for me too.
Whenever people say that they're like Flavor of Love, Rock of Love obsessed people, I'm always like, I think we probably had the same rules in our home because I couldn't watch MTV, but I was watching Rodeo on Rock of Love, like make out with Brett Michaels with her top off. Wait, but I'm like, so this is okay?
No, I couldn't watch. I don't think I could watch MTV either. Because is that, I like my parents were so anti-16 and pregnant.
That's MTV.
Yeah. No, I know. And it's like, what? You think I'm a middle schooler and going to watch this and be like, oh, let me have a baby. Like, no, that's not how it works, mom and dad. But I think that's what happened. Yeah.
Wait, Tom, are your parents together?
Uh-huh.
Okay, just curious. I think you guys like grew up in like whole households. Like I feel like my broken household. I had a single mom who was like happy that I was like in one piece when she got home.
Yeah, no, that yeah, your mom was
I watched everything.
No, like, I know, but we all but Emily, each side has its wins and its losses, let me tell you that. Yes. So
wait, why? I feel like parents together is so nice.
No, not them being together. I just mean like they like there's a level of there's like a grass is greener. Like my parents maybe have been on the more side of like micromanaging what I did.
I had helicopter parents for sure.
Right. And you're talking about like you could watch like anything every time you got home from school. It sounded like a dream to me.
Yeah. My mom straight up came home and was just like, great, you're alive.
Wait, Tom, did you have a TV in your room?
I did.
Oh, see,
but not until like middle of high school.
Oh, same. It was like middle of high school.
Emily's like, I fell asleep to like Cinemax every night. What were y'all doing?
I was like, remember those pornos that like would come on HBO at like 1 a.m.?
Emily, no. Like, no. I could not watch HBO. I promise you.
I was not watching HBO either. Tom, where did you grow up?
I grew up just north of Dallas.
Okay, so south. So I grew up in Georgia. So yes, maybe it's a South thing too. A Southern thing.
Yeah. We don't watch porn. We don't watch porn in the middle of the night before on school nights.
No, it was like on late. Like HBO.
No, I know. I mean, I had.
Where there was an app.
I had figured out that there was porn to be had in the middle of the night later in my high school career.
I used to watch it all the time. But like, not like, I just thought like it was like, I was like fascinated, you know? like late
we night. we learned this earlier on your podcast. Yeah. You said that you are fascinated with body, with anatomy, which I am,
oh my god, I forgot about that.
Lauren and I both were kind of just like, okay,
I know you guys Lauren is definitely more conservative than me, but I push her a little.
Yeah, I'm kind of a prude. It's fine.
She is.
Okay. Well, yeah. And you're a prude, and Emily loves Naked and Afraid. Or not Naked and Afraid. What's it called?
I forget.
No, I'm forgetting
the,
it.
I don't even know. It's
what's it called?
It was on BBC. Naked Anatomy.
Naked Dating?
Naked Attraction.
Naked Attraction. Wow, from top model to Naked Attraction.
We cover it all here. We cover everything. So to Bravo, like what's everyone watching? What's everyone loving? Are we all up to date on everything? Where are we at, yes, ladies?
We're always up to date, or we try to be up to date. I'm hating Vanderpump Rules. Sorry, not sorry. Not loving Potomac.
Yeah, Potomac, we'll start with Vanderpump Rules. Potomac, I bowed out though.
I was about to say, like, is it still on? Yeah.
It is still on. They're like on another cast trip right now. I felt like they were in Austin, Texas for approximately like 8 weeks and I couldn't see them there anymore. I left. But no, VPR is, I actually thought this past, this week's episode was actually the best that they have had.
Yes.
Like, I thought there was there. But I just think there's only so much to be said about Scandoval.
I honestly think this might be the last season. Yes, it is. Yes, listen.
What else are they going to do?
I fully believe last season was going to be the last season. The way that it was, I also heard a couple of things. But the way that the season...
You haven't told me.
You definitely heard the same things I heard.
I heard that.
You definitely heard it.
You definitely heard this.
Tell me.
Think about the end of the season.
Exactly.
Prior to the Scandoval. But think about that scene that Lisa Vanderpump, as she's at, they're at yes. Sir. And yes. she's like, you'll never have friends like this. Just love each other.
That was just totally the finale of the show. Yeah. And then Scandoval happened. And then there was money involved. There was so much money involved. So, of course... But where's the money now? I honestly think they dried it all up. And I don't know, maybe then this will be a nice segue into the Valley. And then some of them will be brought over to the Valley. Because the thing about Vanderpump Rules, if it's not the show that it was when it started. And I think you now have Southern Hospitality, which is so fun. I got into it, Emily. My mom and I started to watch it.
Oh, good.
Week.
Good.
It's
okay.
Good. It's Vanderpump, but several seasons ago. So there's no identity. And it's like, look, I'm bored with all these people. Maybe if Lala goes to the Valley, I would be happy.
Do we think the Valley is going to be good? Have y'all seen a screen for it yet?
I don't know about that.
Okay. Here, I take huge umbrage with the Valley. Number one. I can't say what I want to say because I was with someone that is, I can't say it. I'll get myself fired. Let's just say this.
Well, what's your issue with the Valley?
Okay. Let's just say this. When that cover art came out, I was a little shook. Why is it so like it's not real. You're selling a reality TV show with cover art where people look like they are plastic. You know, so that didn't look good.
It's like AI mom and dad.
But also, they're all straight, predominantly white, and apparently there are two, I believe, gay men that are.
There's one gay guy
that are friend up,
of course.
And I don't like that personally because I feel like we're reflecting LA. Like, let's put a gay couple in. I would love a lesbian couple. Like, I just want more. I want more diversity. I think if we're reflecting what LA and what 2024 is right now, and like couples that are living in the Valley, it's like
really not Jax and Brittany.
No, and also it is crazy. It baffles me that Bravo has yet to land any sort of like LGBTQIA+ programming. That is
why?
Their audience.
Honestly, Tom. Tell me why, because I don't understand it, because their viewership is so LGBTQ plus
predominant. I think it's because I think they don't know. I think people don't know how to go about it because I think one, they don't want to put anyone in. I don't think they want to put people in bad lights. Like Drag Race is an art like that they're showcasing. Like no matter how much drama they build up in a season, in the end, like the show is about showcasing the craft of drag, which is people spend years to hone as a thing. So like they, even if someone is hated in the terms of like, you know, them being petty in dramatic situations, they have something to fall back on. But I guess like when you put people on the LGBTQIA plus spectrum, like on a show that's just like housewives for gays and theys, maybe there's a worry that it's like exploiting the community a little bit, but it's like all these shows are exploitative. And
I look at it so different because I'm like, I get what you're saying, but I look at it so differently because I'm like, I think the more representation there is, and I think the more we educate people on like what real LGBTQ plus people are, what real people that are maybe in minority groups are, the more like we will move the needle.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I totally agree with that. I just, it makes no sense to me that they couldn't have even, and they never really even tried entering anyone from the community onto Vanderpump Rules outside of Billie Lee. Like Billie Lee is a trans woman, was on one season, and then she had like an awful season that was kind of not, that wasn't in her hands. Like they were really mean to her. Yeah. Like it was just weird. It didn't feel good. And then she wasn't on the show anymore. I mean, she's on this season tangentially.
Well, now I feel like Tom is just using her this season.
They should give Billie a confessional.
1000%.
I'm surprised they didn't, especially this season. Because she's kind of the only one on Tom's side right now with Tom Schwartz.
The only one that we know that is on Tom's side. All those people at that party, we don't know who they are.
Oh, yeah. The party, his birthday party.
Like, Billie seems to be, like, supporting Tom. So, like, put her in a confessional and, like, let her to say her truth.
Tom, what about that? I did not watch it, but the MTV show. It was, like, the WeHo. Yeah.
Yes, the real gays of WeHo or whatever. Yeah. So that I did not watch. I watched like a little bit of like the first episode. I struggle with reality programming outside of Bravo in that genre sometimes. Like Bravo has a really good grasp on how to put together like the Housewives like template, right? Like all the production companies that run that do a good job, but it felt so clunky, and they really did not know each other.
Oh,
the gays.
Not fun. Yeah.
So it felt very inorganic, and like it felt extremely scripted, and it just didn't work. And people also were upset about it because most of them didn't even like live in West Hollywood. Like it should have been more of like not so like overwhelmingly wealthy gays of like Beverly Hills, but like actual like working class level, like upper middle class gays who like to go out on the weekends in West Hollywood. Like that is more interesting than, and I like Brad Goreski, but like he's like a superstar, so I don't really know what business he has on that, you know.
Where did it air?
On MTV.
It was on MTV. Yeah,
see, I remember
that. It should have been on Bravo.
Yeah,
I think it was, they wanted it to be on Bravo, like it was pitched for Bravo and then MTV picked it up. I don't know. I just heard people didn't love it.
I think the more interesting show is like pick a small, if you go back to why Orange County Housewives worked in 2004, whenever it began, like it was a community that not everyone was like as in touch with, was like the gated communities of, you know, and then we found these superstars in this world. Pick like a little gay hotspot in the middle of like maybe
like Newport, Providence, isn't that like a big
or like somewhere even in Texas. Like I think there's more there than going to someplace so kind of basic as Hollywood where everyone wants to be on TV anyways, right?
Yes.
So that's really the secret in my opinion. Like I seriously think I should work in reality TV casting because I agree with you. I really think finding people that never imagined themselves on TV are not like pursuing entertainment careers. It's like, mm-hmm. find those people that are just living, cast them. Those are the people that you want.
Yeah, that's why people like Dorinda work so well, or like Karen Huger, or even people like Marisol and her mom on the early seasons of Miami.
I started rewatching the early seasons of Miami.
Mm-hmm.
So fun. So, so good. Miami is so underrated. And this season is still so underrated. I was so pissed when Bravo put the reunion back to back. And I'm like, no.
I think they made a big misstep when moving it away from Peacock. Like, I think
it should have just stayed on Peacock.
Even it does make me laugh because like I literally watch everything on Peacock the next day anyway. So it doesn't really change my viewing experience in any ways, shape, or form. But I think there's something more fun about it just being streaming there instead of airing right after. They also set up a failure. It's airing after Beverly Hills, which I think they thought was a TN to like viewership, but not really. I think this past season was the best Housewives season that was currently airing.
Oh, it totally was, because I was so bored with Beverly Hills, and I love Beverly Hills, but I just could not. I was bored. The whole Kyle not saying anything was getting so annoying. And then now you have Mauricio spilling it all on buying Beverly Hills, and it's
which I'm not watching.
No, I've just seen clips of it on TikTok and stuff, and he's like saying so much more than she has said all season.
Emily, where are you at with Beverly Hills?
No, I think it's interesting how like just from a PR point of view, I think it's interesting how they think, sorry, we're in New York, my sirens are going. I think it's interesting how they think, and I get it from a strategy and PR point of view, but I feel like they should know better. So like all us three, we want to know about Kyle and Mauricio, right? But none of us are tuning in to Netflix, right? Where none of us are watching that show. And they're trying to bring viewers to that show by talking about marriage on that show.
Right.
I personally feel it's like feed the hand that is feeding you, which is Beverly Hills. Like, well, we're not going to go over there.
It's just interesting, though, because you had Kyle say in several interviews that she really didn't talk about it because Mauricio didn't want her to talk about it, especially in the beginning of the season. And then because at first the girls didn't know. And then it's funny now that you then have Mauricio on his show so talkative about it. And it's like, ugh. But I also think Kyle is like a little delusional, thinking that we don't know that her and Morgan are actually a thing. And I assume that's what's going to be the big shocker during the reunion on the last part three. And it's like, no, we know that. Did you see her hand placement on Watch What Happens Live? Like,
yes,
I did. Saw that. Can you tell me about it?
Okay, so Kyle was on Watch What Happens Live, and Morgan came with her, and they shot like they did the photos on the little tiny red carpet step repeat or whatever. And Morgan's hand was like real low up down in there. Yeah, and it was like a little rub.
Wait, I think Morgan's hot. Like
totally.
I get it.
I'm here for it.
I'm not gay or bi.
No, I'm 1,000% here for it. I think Kyle, like Morgan, has given Kyle things that Mauricio hasn't in a long time. So whatever makes her happy, I'm here for it. And honestly, I get it. She doesn't have to be super honest about everything because it is her life. But the fact that she is on a reality show that is about her life.
But she holds people to different standards than she holds herself. And I think sometimes the housewives forget like how invested people are in these shows. Like we really follow these women's reasonings on things, and the way like we can make arguments against them or for them at any point in time. And unfortunately she doesn't have a good argument for herself because she is constantly trying to expose other people's things and be in the scene with someone when we're talking about a lawsuit or bringing things up on camera like that people don't want to talk about. But then the second it's her, it's just, we can't speak on that. It's just not fair. It just doesn't make for fun TV.
Isn't it funny, though, that you brought that up where, like, we are so obsessed with it all, and it's like, why? Mm-hmm. I sometimes wonder that. I'm like, why am I so obsessed with these people? It's kind of crazy.
Think about it, like, think about it like Succession. Like, we were all trying to figure out how Succession was going to end. Or, like, someone was like, how, what's going to happen in Game of Thrones that season?
Yeah.
Or, like, it's not different to us because it's just a show about a story that you want to see unfold. Unfortunately, the stakes are, it is these people's real life. So,
but also, Lauren, think about, like, I mean, I'll fully admit it. I'm ashamed of it, but I'll admit it. I'm a gossip. Like, why am I gossiping?
No, be proud.
Why am I gossiping about, like, my neighbor's life?
No, that's so true. I love, you know, shit talking. I think shit talking is, like, one of my favorite
right
things.
Like, it's like, yeah, because, like, I'm interested. Like, I want to know who she's, like, I want to know what's going on with her husband and, like, the affair and, like, this, that. I just made that up. My neighbors aren't having affairs.
Oh my god,
that's fun though.
But you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, completely. I mean, that's why I think most people who watch Housewives are shit talkers. I think that's,
I love stirring the pot. Emily loves stirring the pot.
I do too. What are you going to say?
Honestly, maybe it's from our early ages of reality TV, and it this is be. Why we are the way we are.
Father watching us.
Yeah, watching Tiffany Pollard stir the pot on Flavor of Love just made me who I am. I can't complain. Wait, did y'all, I don't know if y'all saw that on what's his name? Jason Lee. He was interviewing Tiffany Pollard and showed a photo of Pumpkin, like, stop, current day.
Oh, did I did see not this? See this.
It is, it's awful. Like, I mean, she says some awful things about her, but it is hilarious. But she's operating where she lives in, like, this early aughts, like, world, and it's like, Tiffany, like, this doesn't look good anymore. Like, that's not funny.
Yeah, leave Pumpkin alone. Pumpkin just wants to.
Oh, she did spit on her.
Yeah, she did spit on her.
I mean, no, she did hot glue.
Oh,
I more mean, like, you're a superstar. Like, move on, sort of thing. Like, y'all were into y'all have one of the most viral moments in reality TV history, and, like, I would just kind of, like, keep it chugging. Yeah. So Beverly Hills agreed. It was a bit of a slog, but
it wasn't the worst season we had.
It wasn't the worst.
I like this group of girls.
Oh
yeah.
Wait, you like? Did you say you like Anne Marie, the new girl?
I like the core group of girls here, though. And I'm excluding Dorit and Anne Marie from that. Dorit in Reunion Part One has lost all sense of self.
Okay, so I think she needs to go.
Yeah, where are y'all at? I agree with you, Laura.
That was honestly, I knew something was up. Emily and I were at the PCAs, and all of them came at the same time. And then about 30 minutes later, Dorit showed up. And at the time, I was like, what is going on? But it's obvious that she is just in her own little bubble. And then, yeah, after that reunion, the first part. And also, can we talk about the fashion,
and
she was 2 hours late. I find that so rude.
Who just watched the show but didn't see, like, the headlines. So Dorit was late to the reunion. They show it in the beginning of the first part. But then since then, like, it's come out that she was actually a full 2 hours late. But that then also she created, like, 5 reels in those 2 hours, like, of, like, her getting ready and her, like, walking around, like, the studio that they're at, like, talking to camera, like, all this stuff that she clearly was doing, all of her, like, social media, like, prep before.
I think the reunion nothing started. To me is more offensive or rude than wasting people's time.
Like, exactly.
I feel so strongly about that. I can't even begin to talk about that. I think it is so, like, we are all, I can get really deep with this, but it's like, we are all not here that long. So don't waste people's time. Like, you, if you're supposed to be somewhere, fucking be there.
I've never thought about it like that, but I'm more just thinking, like, well, I was supposed to get a drink with a friend later. Like, don't be late.
It is disrespectful. If you're supposed to be somewhere at 5 o'clock, be there at 5 o'clock, unless something, and if you're not, listen, life happens. Right, but I've had housewives show up for interviews who will not be named, where it's like 2 o'clock is the interview, they show up at like 3 or 4, and it's like, dude, I have a crew here, they haven't eaten lunch, like, you're so disrespectful. It's not nice.
I've had also, I'm not gonna say their name, but we have interviewed a person who worked for a reputable outlet. And in the early days of the podcast, and they were a full 30 minutes late. This isn't a superstar. This is just like
a person.
who thinks that they're hot shit.
That's the
and
worst.
They showed up shit 30 happens, minutes late.
But like,
you but there was nothing. I'm they were so like, sorry. They were like, they were like, yeah, no, I'll be there. I'll be there soon. And then they hopped on with no apologies and were awful to us the whole time. And it was like, why are we doing this? Like, you are now, we're all wasting each other's time at this point, you know?
It's wrong. Like, I'm so passionate about that. I tell people, I have like a lot of college students that reach out to me. I talked to one today for like, just, you know, advice, whatever.
Yeah.
That is one of my big pieces of advice. Big ones.
Oh, it's a good one.
Yeah, well, also, you just never know the way that you act and how that person, like, I think, don't waste people's time and always just be nice. You don't know what other
people are other going through.
And you never know when you're going to meet people again. And it's just like, take the extra energy to be a little nice. And it goes a long
way. Be a lot nice.
Also, yeah, a lot nice. I know, a lot nice.
Not for other people.
Yeah.
Completely. But Dorit's lateness, like, I think that was a nail in the coffin for Andy. I think in the first nail. I think he just looked at her and was like, you are fucking awful. Like, I can't do this anymore with you.
No, and what is she bringing? Honest to God, what nothing. Is she bringing?
No,
it's I'm the sorry. PTSD yet again, and I don't want to diminish that because
right.
totally, and her feelings are validated, but is there anything else you can talk about?
Apparently no. And she also claims to be a woman of the world always, right? And
she's from Connecticut.
Well, right, she's from Connecticut, but there's also no one who carries more microaggressions than this woman of the world. I'm like, girl. And if Erica Jane is telling you that may have been a macroaggression, then it's a mega macroaggression. Like, the whole child bride stuff with Crystal, I was like, how do you not see that this is awful?
It's
like, it's just
so bad.
Oh,
the thing about the macro and microaggressions that I feel is like, listen, as you know, we all make mistakes. We all say things that we may not be educated on. And I do think there needs to be grace for that. But what Dorit has not done, which I think is really important, is to be humble and to say, you know what? Like, I was wrong. I didn't know. Thank you for educating me. And not a but or a, you know what I mean? Like, she continues to make excuses for herself.
But her excuse is always, I am, like, well, a couple seasons ago, it was everyone that works for us is not white, which is an insane thing to say. And, like, she always,
I forgot
she always,
about
her,
that.
She was like, my grandmother's best friend was black, okay? Let's talk about it. Like, it's like, that's
no,
not,
clear.
That's, yeah. That is the most cringiest, like, acceptance of, like, that you're hashtag listening and learning, you know?
No, if you're listening and learning, you're listening and learning, so you're shutting up.
Shutting the fuck up. But she keeps coming at Garcelle, like, and Garcelle literally was like, I've watched the clip so many times, Garcelle says, like, under her breath, when they're talking about the child bride stuff. Garcelle says, no, she goes, well, do you not hear yourself? And she goes, see, this is what I'm talking about.
it's
so
good.
Funny.
Yeah, Garcelle's queen. She can truly do no wrong. I love Garcelle.
So what do y'all think?
You know who's so nice? Garcelle.
That tracks.
So nice. Every time.
Follows me on Insta. Like,
yes.
So nice.
So nice.
And I feel like she wants to see women win too.
Yes.
Like, and she's been in the business forever. And there's a reason. If you're in the business forever, there's a reason for it. And it's likely that you're easy to work with and just a nice person. And you show up on time.
Oh, yes.
Wait, so what do we think is, like, up next for Beverly Hills, like, in terms of casting? Who do you think is in and out?
I think Dorit is for sure out. I do think they'll give Anne-Marie another season.
I agree with you, Lauren.
Emily and Anne-Marie had a great interview, and she told you that there was a ton of storyline that they did not show.
Her mom died in the middle of the movie, and they didn't show it.
Why? Yeah. So they filmed about it?
Yeah.
They didn't show it. He's adopted. We didn't know.
Yeah, so she has all this, and then her husband's stuff, which I don't think they would touch on anyways.
No, but she should, to be honest.
She should.
Like, to be
she
her
should.
Storyline next season, talk about it.
And well, then.
Also, it's your opportunity. It is also an opportunity to talk about it.
Exactly. To, like, share your side of it. Because, or it's just going to keep going.
She should talk about it.
I do think despite everyone and even Kyle being like, oh, maybe I'll take a break. I don't think she's going to take a break. I don't know. I would hope there's some new people in the mix. I will say, I enjoyed Erica this past season.
I did too.
And so I think her trying to learn empathy was fun. And let's keep working on it, baby girl, you know?
And I did enjoy her, but I did not know about this lawsuit going on with her and the fashion designer.
Okay, I'm very confused about that.
Educate me.
Can you educate us about this?
Yeah. Okay, so this all did not play out on the show. It played out on Housewife and the Hustler Part 2, of course.
Which, by the way, I was asked to be a part of.
And yeah. Hey, Emily, well, then, that was a sad time.
Oh.
I just needed to plug myself.
You needed to plug a show that you weren't on.
But she was going to be on.
Just
and
the
then...
fact that I was good enough to be asked meant a lot.
He was like, just want to let everyone know, like, I wasn't on it, but I was asked, okay?
But wasn't it the first one?
The first one, they asked me to be on it. And I think NBC was not, like, thrilled. They were just kind of like, they didn't tell me no, but they were just like, my employment and my loyalty is obviously to my organization.
Right.
They just were kind of like, not.
Yeah, don't bite the hand that feeds you.
Yeah, and I made the decision.
My big, I got asked and I said no. If we're gonna share,
is you did get asked.
No, not for that. Another example.
I have an adjacent thing that is kind of juicy. So I was a spin instructor in the city for like 8 years, and I did a podcast that I don't talk about much anymore because it got like a lot of heat from people in the fitness industry, but people not in the fitness industry was like, it was very interesting. And it was talking about how crazy the boutique fitness industry is.
Oh.
And so this publication heard it and reached out to me and was like, we are doing a big documentary about kind of like exposing how fucked up like the industry of SoulCycle and et cetera are. And I was just like, I want to do this so bad, but I think it's just, and I still work in fitness adjacent, so it's important that I keep a bit of, you know, I gotta like keep a job. So I did deny them, but I'm hopeful that that project does come out because there's so many stories that I have.
That's what I'm like very interested. Like I want to know, like, tell me like what goes down.
Yeah.
Like
there's a lot.
It's like the restaurant industry, you know?
Yeah, it's fucked up. It's a little different though, because in my mind though, because like, these people hinge their careers on being like
health and
health, fitness, wellness experts, you know? So, but, I do hope that comes out in some form because there's a lot to say about it.
For that to come out because also a lot of these people aren't making a lot of money. So it's like it's like not even worth it, you know?
Yeah, totally. There was a reality show about a spin studio. It was on MTV. I can't remember what it was called, but it was about this studio called Cycle House in LA. I don't know if you've heard of Cycle House, Lauren.
I have.
They followed around like the instructors and stuff. It is crazy. There's never been a reality show about fitness like professionals
professional.
Like they tried it on Bravo a couple times with Workout, and they did Workout New York, a couple years ago, but for some reason, it never hits, but I think there's so much drama there that it could be good.
Mm.
There's gays there. We could have gays in the work. Yeah.
There's not really a reality show with gays just living their life. Like,
there isn't. It's so weird. It's so bizarre.
And I find gay men to be like the most interesting and the most entertaining. So
mm-hmm.
I think it's funny. Like, it's just odd to me.
Yeah, I agree. Well, is there anything else that y'all are loving before I let you go that you got to plug? Any other shows, Bravo or non-Bravo, that you're like, this is appointment viewing, besides Millionaire Matchmaker on Netflix, old seasons?
I mean, I watch everything.
I do too.
For Access Broadcast, I do a lot of the mainstream interviews. So I love like a good mini series scripted show. I'm loving X-Facts on Amazon. Is it on Amazon?
Okay, great.
I think it's Amazon.
Yes, it's on Amazon. Yeah.
Loving like Nicole Kidman, just so freaking good. Loved that show. What else?
Wait, Emily, you just interviewed Lindsay Lohan. I want to know, did you watch the movie beforehand?
Three times.
You watched it three times?
I want to watch it.
Is it so cute? Yeah.
Did you see her Christmas movie?
Yes.
I did see the Christmas
story. Okay, so it's Same deal, St. Patrick's Day, though.
Okay, I love that kind of stuff. I'm a Hallmark person.
I'm a Lindsay Lohan stan. And I also like So Bad It's Good kind of stuff.
Exactly.
Same.
Right. So I'm sure, like, people will say, guaranteed it's going to be number one on Netflix because it's Lindsay Lohan and it's, like, the whole thing. You know what I mean?
It's cute.
It's cute. It's easy. You can watch it. I also think as a society, we're really lacking family TV. And as a family, you can sit down and watch that. It's totally kosher. So, yeah, I love Lindsay Lohan.
Tom and I could have watched it when we were in.
It would have been cleared. Yeah, it would have been cleared in our home.
It would have been cleared in your very conservative household. but yeah, so that's that. Irish Wish, check it out. It's out March 15th.
Wow. Not you on the Lindsay Lohan press tour right now.
Honestly, I found out so hard that I think it made her uncomfortable. So
she should be used to it. I mean, she, especially to people in like our generation,
millennials,
like she was everything for us when we were younger. So
that girl was a one-time teenage drama
queen.
The way I thought she was so cool.
She was cool.
She was.
This comeback that she's having. She looks amazing. I can't even say amazing.
She got good work done.
She had really good work done.
Yes.
Like really good work done. From Mykonos Lindsay to this Lindsay. Yeah.
It's a different one.
Because she had that reality show.
She did. But I did not tune in for that.
I'm just so happy to see someone that's like, look at Britney Spears. Do you know what I mean? Like compare, like these women took so much abuse and so much disgusting, like such a horrible abuse from the media, from people, from society. I'm just so happy that Lindsay like really truly does seem to be safe and protected and like, okay. You know what I mean?
Well, Emily and Lauren, that's going to be the wrap up. I mean,
we love you, Tom.
We got to end on a high note on Irish Wish, you know,
go check it out. March 15th.
March 15th,
baby.
You can catch Emily and Lauren on the Irish Wish press tour. They'll be on the Today Show tomorrow. So check it out. No, ladies, thank you so much for being here. This is a blast.
Thank you for having us. I feel like we were just chit-chatting. So
yeah, that's
this was so much fun.
I know. I think Tom's like way better than us, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Duh. He carried this whole thing. There was no like we said in the beginning of the podcast, it was nice, calm energy instead of we're all over the place.
Fair though, it's nighttime right now. So like, we're just Delilah.
It is Delilah.
And you have a glass of wine. You're about to go on a date.
Yeah, I know. You're going to have so much fun. No, I like to kind of curate the chaotic conversation and kind of land the plane. I think I'm good at that.
Yeah, so. You are good at it.
We did that today. We'll let everyone know where they can follow both of you and then also more about Housewives Nightcap and all the good stuff.
Take it away.
Who wants to do it? Lauren, you know what, Emily? Lauren has been carrying a lot in the first half because she did the plugs about everything.
Yeah, so. That's okay, why I was so silent.
Emily, I'm going to pass it on to you.
I just take it every time. So.
Okay, so Housewife Nightcap podcast. Listen to us wherever you listen to your podcasts and then follow me at Emily Orozco TV and Lauren at Lauren Herbert.
_
And then you guys have a YouTube channel too through Access Hollywood, correct?
Right? Nightcap, we just started the podcast like a couple of weeks ago, or not a couple weeks ago, but like back in November. But we post everything on our YouTube. So Access Hollywood's YouTube channel, check it out. And then yes, watch it both. If you want to watch it and see us, go there. And if you want to just listen to our voices, go on the podcast, either one.
Yep. Yep. Check it out. And thank you guys for listening. And ladies, say bye to the listeners. Bye.
Bye, listeners.
That's another ep in the books. Make sure to follow me at Tom Hamlet on Instagram. And you can follow Kix.
At Kix Hamlet, that's spelled C-I-X. And make sure to follow the pod on IG at Dumpster Dive Pod. And on TikTok at 2DumpsterDivas.
Rate, review, and subscribe to us and all the pods you love on your favorite app of choice. And we will see y'all soon.
Bye. Bye.